And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good snowy day to wrap up this week. Man, it came down last night. Get up this morning, still going. So pretty interesting looking around, but driving around this morning, no issues. So just be careful, but felt like the roads were just fine, which is good, even though all the schools are closed.
Yeah, it's a three-day weekend for a lot of people.
Actually, for some, four-day weekend.
Yeah.
Because Thursday was flooded.
True.
So we started off the week on Monday. It was 72 degrees. By Thursday, a lot of kids, like mine, were out of school because of flooding. And by Friday, they're out of school for snow. So 72 degrees, flooding, and snow all in one week in Nashville.
It has been something.
Only in Nashville, right? Can you get all that in a week? Less than a week. That's 5 days right there. Darren McFarland, that's me, Chase McCurb.
What's going on?
Sam Elijah Campbell behind the glass. We got a loaded show again to close out the week. By the way, good win by the Predators last night. Game two of this four-game road trip. That's where Willie Donick is. He is in Edmonton awaiting their contest tomorrow night against the Oilers. It'll be a 6 o'clock start. That's going to be hockey night in Canada up there. Preds and Oilers. Edmonton coming off a stinging loss at home last night. So they will not be in a very good mood, and they're a really good team. So the good news is the Predators have had a lot of success against the Oilers. A lot. And we'll
Pekka
find
Rinne
out if
it has had a lot of success.
Pekka and the Predators have had a lot of success against the Edmonton Oilers, but they get it done 3-2 last night. And all that was done in the first two periods. Nothing doing in the third. And now the Predators are right there on the doorstep of that final wild card spot. 1 point out.
Yeah, and they're 2 points back of being in the first wild card spot. So that's how jumbled it is right now. They are 6 points back of the third spot in the Central Division. So the Predators right there knocking on the door of doing some big things. Now they need to, you know, two in a row is nice. They have played two solid games in a row. They have done what it has taken for them to get the win. I really liked their game again last night. Wasn't perfect, but you had Mikael Granlund, who's been on fire lately. You know, I brought up Kyle Turris yesterday and that he's played better. He gets on the score sheet as well, and Dante Fabbro. So you have different names that are starting to step up and elevate their game. So I really like that, but you got to keep it going. Now you got to put three in a row together. And it's been a while for them to do that. So get three in a row. As you said, an Edmonton team that's probably not going to be in a great mood. They are third in the Pacific Division right now. They've lost two in a row. So Predators can try and make this a three-game winning streak and get into the playoffs, which would be huge. And that'll help David Poile maybe decide, you know, the things that he wants to do in the coming weeks as the trade deadline approaches. But I really liked their game last night.
I'm going to give a little learning lesson on Twitter for all of us to take heed. And I just wanted to look while you were talking. I wanted to see if it was still up or if they had taken it down. They have taken it down. So it was last night when I left, it was still up. And I was like, wow, I can't believe they have not taken it down. But myself doing post-game last night, we got out of here close to midnight. Elijah Campbell, Max Herz were behind the glass. And I, towards the end of postgame, I did a little talk back with Elijah. I said, can you guys check and see if you see Pekka Rinne on IR anywhere?
Oops.
Because the Tennessean had tweeted out that Pekka Rinne had gone on injured reserve, and they had a little story up by a staff reporter. That's Gerbina, a staff reporter, saying that he was out 1 to 2 weeks, upper body injury. They had called up Connor Ingram, and I was like, I need you to – I'm not going on the air with this because I don't see this anywhere else. I texted a couple of Predators officials and said, yeah, heads up. You know, I'm doing postgame. Is Pekka on IR? And they're like, nope. And I was like, uh-oh, somebody's been duped. Yep. Somebody's been duped. So you start talking about his old employer, and Joe Rexroth shows up. He's like, what are you saying about the Tennessean? What? Tell me about this. So, look, it happens. The new thing now on Twitter is to make these accounts look exactly like the real accounts, except for like one letter or a symbol or something. You have to pay close attention, and it looked like the Predators' Twitter account. It was not. It was very, very close, but they got duped from a fake account.
I mean, come on. Look, we've all... I have almost fallen for it a few times on this show, but I have learned that if you don't see that blue check mark, or you're unsure, or it's a story that seems so out of left field, you check on it before you go with it. And so, staff writer, you have learned a valuable lesson, my friend. I hope you still have a job, but you have learned a very valuable lesson that you have to check. Don't run with it. Don't get so excited where, you know, you got to look. There's a ABC News suspended a reporter because of the reporting during the Kobe Bryant tragedy that he had an erroneous report and didn't check his sources. And so he got suspended. Got to be careful. It's a lesson to journalists out there.
Yeah. It is. That's a little bit. That's not exactly apples to apples.
No, but
we're talking about somebody going on IR as opposed to.
No, I know, but it's still the principle of checking your sources and making sure you have it right before you run with it.
Well, with that being said, I got duped when the Predators were playing the Devils. I got duped, and it's the first time I've been duped in years. I mean, I could not even think of the last time I got pulled into the boat on Twitter with a fake account, but I did because the Devils. It looked exactly like their account, except for there were two L's. And a lot of big national people had been retweeting it too. So it wasn't like I was the only one pulled in the boat. Not that I'm trying to get people to join my party, but my pity party, but I did. And a lot of other people got duped too. And that's what's going out. I mean, that's what's going on right now is that's kind of the thing to do is make these fake accounts and get them as close as possible and to get people to fall for it. And I did. This was right before the Predators game. This is a couple hours before the Predators game that the Devils had hired Gerard Gallant. And I'm like, oh, well, that's news because that's who the Predators are about to face. Is Gallant going to be on the bench? Is he going to, you know, is this going to be like John Hines? Is, hi, my name's Gerard. What's your name? What's your name? Now let's go play.
Yeah.
Anyway, all I did was retweet it.
And it was
a fake account.
Look, we've all gotten duped. It's happened. It's going to happen, but you have to be careful. And especially this time of year in the NHL with trades and stuff like that, you have to double check and make sure that I saw one not too long ago, probably a couple months, that it was a fake St. Louis Blues account. And it said that the Blues and the Predators had completed a trade for Jordan Binnington and like a third to the Preds for Pecorino. And I saw that and laughed. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Well, it's easy when it's something that it's ridiculous.
Right, but you and I see that as ridiculous. The average fan looks at that and goes, oh my God, we traded Pecorino. So, I mean, that's where you have to be careful too.
Did a lot of people get fooled on that?
Yeah, I saw it. That's how I saw it because people that I follow were retweeting it. I'm like, guys, come on. Number one, there's this little thing that Pekka has called a no-trade clause, so that factors in. Number two, they're not trading Pecorino. Ever. I mean, ever. Ever.
Yeah, there's that. Like, he's never going to play for anybody
else. Here forever.
Well, not forever, but he's never going
to
be in another
uniform. As long as he wants to play.
Yeah.
That's how it works. But anyway.
So that was a little fun as we late last night. Late. A lot of you were already night-night. You already were looking
that
at
was
your
right
eyelids.
After I left because, you know, I came and hung out with you for a little bit.
You did. No, that was because you were well home by then. This was toward the end. I'm sitting there trying to do all this while some on the air, some during a break, because I didn't want to go with it, even though it was from the Tennessean. I mean, it wasn't like it was a fake Tennessean account. It was from the Tennesseans' Twitter account.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? One, the first thing my radar was that they had a story, and it was a staff reporter, and I'm like, that was like, huh, I wonder why that's not Skrbina. Like, that's kind of odd.
It's weird.
But I'm like, how in the world could this be out there, and I don't see it anywhere else. And so, luckily, especially after just getting duped, as I said last week, before the Devils game, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to send a couple texts to make sure, because I don't think I need to put this out there if it's not true. And lo and behold, it wasn't.
You made the right call.
Wasn't true at all.
You made the right call.
We come back. Big, by the way, two huge college basketball wins right here in our city last night.
Yeah.
Two undefeateds in conference play went down. One over at the Curb Event Center at Belmont. The other one on the campus of TSU. Brian Collins and the Tigers. TSU with a big win last night over Austin Peay.
In Belmont, some fire uniforms, by the way.
Yeah, everybody was raving about the uniforms. And Belmont beat Murray State. So two big wins here last night in our city. We'll talk to Brian Collins. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. As I said, two big college basketball wins last night in our city. One was where our next guest used to play when he was a silky smooth basketball player over at the Curb Event Center, campus of Belmont.
I bet Penny knows this.
Oh, I bet he does too. The Bruins beat Murray State. And over on the campus at TSU, the Tigers beat Austin Peay. I don't know how many people saw that, but two big wins in our city. And Brian Penny Collins is on the line with us. He plays basketball. He knows basketball. Brian, how you doing?
Doing well, man. What's going on this morning, guys?
Do you remember playing at Belmont, right? You remember your silky smooth playing days?
It was so long ago, man. I forgot the silky smooth part, but I do remember playing in that gym.
Yeah.
Do you remember old ball coach Rick Bird?
Uh-huh. Do you remember your best game ever?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. So your memory's starting to come back around, isn't
it? Yeah. It was against Lipscomb. I'm proud to say that.
Yeah. Well, what'd you drop? I mean, come on, don't stop there.
Well, and I had 21 points, but you know, I had 7 steals that night, and we won and kind of clinched our berth for the regular season title of my senior year. So that was a big time. That was my best game I ever had.
Yeah, see, you're not that old. Everything's coming in crystal clear now. getting great reviews on the unis last night. Tell us about it.
Yeah, man, we did a throwback Thursday last night, and we brought out some retro jerseys from the 1970s. And the actual jersey that we wore, I think they were from the year 1973, and they were worn by Bernard Bailey was the best player on that team. He's an All-American that year. But the interesting story about those particular jerseys, that I just found out that Truck Robinson, who played in the NBA, who played at Tennessee State, he bought those uniforms for TSU that year.
Wow.
I thought that was a pretty cool story, and they were interesting because they say the big blue on them, and they had pinstripes on them. So we just did an exact replica and had an opportunity to wear them last night, and a lot of the fans were excited about it.
Sounds like the guys were excited about it too, huh? When you unveiled those to them?
Oh man, they were really excited when we showed them the first time, and they said they want to wear them again, so we're gonna try to pick one more game this year and wear them one more time.
So Murray State and your opponent, Austin Peay, came in to Nashville last night sporting 10-0 records in the OVC. They were undefeated, and
yep,
both went down last night. Austin Peay has played really well this season. What worked is you guys had a nail-biter, and you come away with the 70-68 victory. What was working for you guys last night?
I think we really defended. Last time we played them, we gave up 99 points. And they had two guys that, had unbelievable games against us. And last night we held them to 34% shooting, something like that. And we held them 68 points. So it's almost a 31-point turnaround game defensively for us. But also, when we played them the first time, we were undermanned. We had a lot of guys injured. Our leading scorer at the time and leading rebounder, Wesley Harris, transferred from West Virginia. He didn't play. We had a couple of the reserve guards didn't play in that game, so we were down by 3 or 4 guys and had opportunity to get those guys back. Last week we had an opportunity to get everybody back, so now we're just kind of a little bit more at full strength and get opportunity to play a better brand of basketball than we've been playing the last couple weeks.
You brought up that game against Austin Peay where you gave up 99. That was at their place in Clarksville. You had lost the game before against Eastern Kentucky at home, and then you had gone to a tough Murray place and lost. So you dropped three in a row, obviously good opponents. What did you learn about your team, and then you've rebounded to win your next three? What did you learn about your room after those three losses?
Well, it's just like I just said, even the Eastern Kentucky game, we didn't have, our pistol wasn't fully loaded, man. We've been so beat up and hurt. We haven't had our full team on the court until last night. Last night was our first time having our full team on the court since early December. So to finally have all our guys back and healthy and being able to put them all on the floor and have the rotation that we had in the beginning of the year, we were able to kind of – guys can have to play such long minutes and we had guys that could come in and give us some quality minutes off the bench as well. So I think that was the most important thing, to get back healthy. But also, we're back to defending how we defended in the beginning of the year. We were number one in the OVC in defense and number one in the OVC in offense or field goal percentage in the beginning of the season when we had our full team. And then when we started getting all these injuries, some of those stats dropped. I think we dropped to almost seventh place in the OVC. But now that we're back, last four games, we've taken our opponents in the 30s. In the field goal percentage.
Mm. Brian Penny-Collins on the line with us, head coach at TSU, Tennessee State, with a big win last night over Austin Peay, 70-68. Now that you're well entrenched in conference play, you've got a good look at the conference as we sit here in February. What do you think of the conference as a whole?
Oh, man, OVC's big time. It's one of the best mid-major conferences in the country. We have some elite coaches, some legendary coaches, some guys that are going to go down as Hall of Famers. And we also have some elite basketball players in this conference. Obviously, you look at the history of the conference and the guys that we just had recently going to the NBA, Wendler and Morant. But also, we have another whole other list of guys that are coming through now that are going to be special players. And every night is a battle. There's not one night that you can come in and say, "Oh, I got this. This is going to be an easy one tonight." You have to battle every single night, and our guys are up for the challenge.
Well, the good news is you get to you get to celebrate beating Austin Peay, and then you get a little walk in the park with Murray. Oh,
yeah,
that's easy. Crazy.
Yeah, no big deal. But in all seriousness, what is it about Murray, Penny? How do they do this year in and year out? Where they are always, I mean, it's one thing when you have the special player like Ja Morant, who, by the way, is tearing it up as a rookie in the NBA. But they've been doing this now for a while. Whether their coach goes and jumps for a bigger program, like how do they stay at this level in Murray, Kentucky, year in and year out?
Well, I don't know who the coach was that started it, but whoever started it, they have done an unbelievable job of sustaining their culture of winning. I mean, now those teams, they believe they're going to win every game. Their fans believe they have unbelievable support in Murray, Kentucky. You go to a game on a Thursday, it's going to be packed. You go to a game on a Monday when the students are not there, it's going to be packed. I mean, the people in Murray, Kentucky love their program. And when those young men come into the program, they have a pride and a culture of winning that has been able to sustain over a long period of time. And you can't say enough about once you build your program up, like Belmont has done, like we are trying to do now, to when you get to a point where you expect to win every single game, especially when you get in the conference play. And teams like Murray State, they've done a good job of that.
Brian Penny-Collins is on the line with us, head coach at TSU. Big win last night over Austin Peay, 70-68. And sticking with the conversation about the conference and the OVC, and you alluded to it with Murray State and Ja Morant and just a transcendent player like he was. I know he didn't play for you, but how can you use a player like that as a recruiting tool when you're trying to get people to come to TSU of, hey, this conference, it's stacked, it has great talent, you see a player like Ja Morant, can you use that as a recruiting tool, even though he didn't play for you?
Oh, absolutely. Any kind of success that comes out of the OVC, we use it. Not just the OVC, but the Nashville period. We really sell Nashville and all the great things and great people that have came out of Nashville, and of course Tennessee State as well. We've had over 20 plus NBA players that play here for us at Tennessee State, and a lot of people don't talk about. I just talked about kind of like Truck Robinson and Ted Howe McLean and Dick Skull Barnett. Some of the legendary guys that have played 10-plus years in the NBA who you don't really hear about. Just recently, Robert Covington was traded 2 days ago to the Houston Rockets. And last night, he goes and gets, has a big-time game in his first game, and they beat the Lakers last night.
Right.
And it had a lot to do with him. So, there's a lot of positivity still. Definitely, even guys that didn't come from TSU and that have played overseas talk about all those things. And it's a league where you can come and have your dreams come true.
I can remember a few years ago, I went to the Coaches versus Cancer. It was a luncheon at the time, and you had the coaches in the area. That Rick Byrd, obviously, Kevin Stallings was at Vanderbilt, and a lot of these guys had been here for so long. Well, now there has been a turnover, but it seems like the relationship between all the coaches and all the schools, it's continued, and I look at that as a good thing because you all, whether you're in the SEC or the OVC, you guys playing each other and having that relationship can help each other out.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a college basketball coach, you're in a brotherhood. You're in a brotherhood that, you know, it's not many of us. I think there's like 350 Division I head coaches in the country, and you got to, you know, you pick each other's brains and you root for each other. And, but, you know, when you play against each other, you battle when the game is over. You know, you shake hands like Jim and move on. But we have a really tight-knit group of Tennessee coaches, and we all kind of pull for each other. And, you know, obviously I'm a Belmont alum, so I like to see those guys win, except when we play them. But, you know, we do have a really close-knit group of coaches, especially here in Tennessee.
What does that say about Rick Byrd to have you, that is a Belmont alum, you're coaching in the area as the head coach at TSU, you have Casey that's over at Belmont now, but he was at Lipscomb, to have two guys that played under him that are now head coaches?
Man, I wish I could speak for him, but I would assume that he's extremely proud. I would, you know, knowing the kind of person he is and kind of man he is, I just can assume that he's just as proud to see his tree grow as he is to win championships. I can imagine that when we play each other, he'll be, you know, sitting up there like a proud dad, see his former pupils, two of his former point guards play against each other and lead their programs in a special way. But I think the thing that he'll be the most proud about is how his influence is going right into our culture of both the programs. So when he sees a reflection of himself and sees some of the sets that we both run and sees some of the values that are put into our guys, it's a direct reflection of some of the things that he taught me and Casey and a lot of the other coaches that have came through, players that have came through to have their own programs now.
Brian, how much have you seen the relationship between the coach and the player change over the years, whether it's your time as an assistant or now your time as a head coach? Because I feel like it's ever-evolving.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's one of the things that's changed a lot. It's a great question. I know for me personally, when I was coming up through high school, I had a really, really big fear of my coach. And when I was being the GM and doing horse playing, when Coach Nolan used to walk in, well, I would straighten up quick. I would be so nervous. and we had a great relationship, and, you know, that was fine. But now it's like it's a new generation of kids that are coming up that and I think a lot of it has to do with the social media generation and the lack of being embarrassed. They don't take, you know, that stuff as well, this generation. So it's a little bit more of making sure that their feelings are okay. we really want to make sure these guys are feeling good and feeling good about themselves, and we spend a lot of time with relationships, and I just feel like once you earn the guy's trust and love on them, and, you know, you give them that tough love as well, they'll be able to do some amazing things for you.
Do you find yourself having to balance of, you know, whether it's before a practice or before a game, you're in the gym. I mean, you're a player, you're a competitor, shooting around with your guys and, you know, maybe having a little friendly competition, but that also builds the rapport where if you have to have those tough conversations, it's easier to do that.
Absolutely. And we have a rule that I adopted from when I was at Tennessee State. We make our guys check in the office every day before 1 o'clock. So they have to have a meaningful conversation with a coach. So that kind of alleviates a lot of issues of we only spend time with them on the court. So when they come in before 1 o'clock every day, and we joke with them and talk with them and talk about how class is going and how life is going and how their relationships are going, and then we get to the court, it's all about business. So we spend a lot of time in the locker room with the guys after practice, things like that. So you could ask anybody on our team, our players, we have a great player-coach relationship with our entire staff, and I really do believe that it goes a long way, especially when they leave here and come back and think about their times at TSU.
Did you ever get a chance to meet Kobe?
I did not, man. And I feel like I did. I feel like I've been knowing him since he was 17 and got drafted. Man, I'm still in disbelief of what happened to him, honestly. It's just devastating.
Yeah, I know you've rubbed elbows with a lot of big time players. I wasn't sure if your paths ever crossed.
I was in California the same time he was, and I was in the D League, and we had a couple opportunities to cross paths, but I never actually had a chance to sit down and talk with him. But his influence and what he's done has definitely impacted my life.
No doubt about it. Have you offered your son a scholarship yet?
You already know that. That's a no-brainer.
Okay.
It's funny because the Austin Peay coach, assistant coach, told me last night that he talked to my son before the game and told him that he's going to Austin Peay, not Tennessee State. It looks like I still got some work to do.
Sounds like it. Look, Will Muschamp, on the football side of things, his son just committed to Georgia. So what does that tell you? He's the head coach at South Carolina.
How about that? I think that's a tough dinner.
That is a crazy story. Yeah, no doubt about it. Thanksgiving will never be the same in the Muschamp house. By the way, going back as we wrap this up, what you said, you don't know where it started maybe at Murray State. I'm thinking Mark Gottfried. I mean, just think about it. Mark Gottfried, before he went to Alabama, you had Mick Cronin, Billy Kennedy, Steve Prohm. These are some of the coaches that have been at Murray State.
Yeah.
Now look at them today.
Yeah.
It's
amazing. And it goes even further.
Oh, I know.
It's a lot of really good coaches that came out of that league. I mean, out of that school, and they went on to have great careers.
No doubt about it. Hey, go get them. Keep it going. Nice win last night. I know the next two are not going to be easy either. Murray State and Belmont. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch. Thanks for doing this as always.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is Brian Penny Collins, Tennessee State, with a nice win over Austin Peay.
Take two?
I'm not even eating. They suffer their first loss, Austin Peay. Austin Peay and Murray State both going down in our city last night. And now Murray and Tennessee State will do battle for the second time this season. When they went to Murray, they lost by 12. But as you heard Penny say, they just now have their full roster intact. So I'm sure it'll be a little bit different when they meet up on the campus of Tennessee State here next. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, Donick, and Chase on this snowy Friday. Hope everybody's having a good day. Don't forget, you just made the list at noon. Got Nick Cannon tickets. Bridgestone Arena on the line. Pick 6 at 1. Also, Nick Cannon tickets. Pick 6 this week. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up. That's at noon and 1 o'clock. Speaking of things, good things coming up, Greg McElroy at 11 o'clock. He's a part of the broadcast team.
Yeah, for the XFL.
In the XFL.
I was looking yesterday at the broadcast pairings that they're going to have across Fox and ESPN. Big names. Big names right there. Kevin Burkhardt is going to be the lead announcer for Fox. But Greg Olson is on the broadcast team, who's not even retired yet. He's making team visits, but he's been doing a lot with Fox.
I saw where he's going to Buffalo, Seattle. Isn't he?
I would talk to him if I'm the Titans, too.
Is he going to? What is he doing? He's in that awkward spot, right? He's kind of like Jason Witten.
Yeah.
Although Jason Witten played a lot longer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Greg Olson's
I think Witten comes back for one more year. I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He wasn't good at broadcasting. And I love
it. It wasn't as good as
I love Jason Witten, but. But like so Greg McElroy is going to be doing the game, Seattle and DC, which is the first game. He's going to be doing that with Steve Levy and Tom Luganbill, and Diana Rossini will be on the sidelines. So pretty big names there for ESPN. On Fox, their first game, Kurt Menefee and Joel Klatt will be doing that game. Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olson will be doing the game on Sunday, and then Tom Hart, Joey Galloway, Pat McAfee for ESPN will be doing St. Louis and Dallas.
I've got to be honest. Everybody's heard of everybody.
Yeah.
If you haven't, then I guess you don't really follow the sports that closely, because those are well-known names.
Sure.
that cover football. I mean, wow.
This is the thing with the XFL that Vince McMahon has done. He hired Oliver Luck, so he hired a football guy to be the commissioner. Good move. Good move right there from the very beginning. He then got a TV deal with ESPN and Fox. ESPN and Fox are clearly taking this seriously because they've had a ton of coverage on it. They've had a ton of advertising, and they're rolling out big guns from both college and the NFL to call these games. So you have the personalities already. Now it's all about the product. Are people going to watch the product? Are people going to – yeah, you don't have big-name players. You have a couple, but you're not going to get the superstar names because they're in the league. So – are people going to tune in? They will this week because it's the first week and it's new.
That's what we do. When things are new, we check it out.
But yeah, can they keep it up? You know, I was looking at like the week one schedule. As I said, the first game ever is the Seattle Dragons at the DC Defenders. That's at 1 o'clock tomorrow on ABC. And then you have the LA Wildcats and the Houston Roughnecks on Fox following that one. Then on Sunday, you have two games. Tampa Bay at New York on Fox, and then the afternoon game, St. Louis and Dallas on ESPN. So you got a big slate. Well, then the next week you have FS1 gets a couple games, ABC has a couple games, Fox has one. Will people pay attention then? It's always the next week. It's not week one. It's always week two. So, and I know there aren't a lot of teams, and I know that some people are footballed out, but I do think it's better that they have this, that they have this going, you know, right after the Super Bowl, so you can just pick it up. Now, Sunday the 16th, you have one game that's going to be going up against the Daytona 500. So, are people going to watch that, or you know, will people tune into the Daytona 500? So, we'll wait and see. I'm curious to see what the ratings do, not only in this market that doesn't have a team, but also nationally.
Hard to tell. I guess it depends on what it looks like.
Yeah.
That's going to determine a lot of it.
Do you care one way or another if this league makes it?
Do I care?
Yeah.
I mean, why would I root against it? I mean, I don't have any reason to root against it.
Well, and I'm not saying you're rooting against it, but I mean, with the AAF, I was curious about it. I liked the concept. I liked some of the rules they implemented. The Sky Judge I thought was kind of cool, and they're going to have that in the XFL too. I would imagine the NFL probably adopts that at some point. I think it's a good rule. But I was curious about it, and then when it didn't even make a season, I was like, all right, whatever.
Well, yeah, but that's after the decision's been made. I mean, it's easy to pull the plug on it in your thoughts whenever it folds up. I mean,
But I wasn't watching every week either. So that I guess I had made my subconsciously I had made my decision. Like if it was on, if I was flipping through and there was a game, I'd watch for a few minutes, but I wasn't invested. And I like some of the coaches that they have in the XFL. But I guess I'm in that, you know, I would love to see it be successful, but if it's not, I'm not gonna lose sleep over it.
Look, everybody's gonna be scarred a little bit. Okay. Everybody's gonna be gun shy. Doesn't mean you don't want to check it out. It doesn't mean that you don't want it to work. But everybody's going to enter with caution. I mean, everybody's going to check the pool, make sure it's got water in it before they go jumping in after all these leagues have come and gone quick. So, I mean, I don't know how anybody's going to feel really comfortable. That is the battle they're going to face. The battle they have to face is trying to get people to believe they're for real. Getting people to believe that they're going to be around. It's just like here. Anybody who's been here for any length of time, whenever the ABA was making their tours through Nashville, it's like, after a while, it was like, okay. You know, then it's right. Like, hey, there's going to be a new ABA. Nah, it's like, whatever, man. Just talk to me down the road if you stick.
Yeah.
Because.
Then I'll go.
It had become, you know, become a, well, it's a word I can't say, show. And. You know, there was a lot of drama, and everybody gave it a chance. It was actually really cool at first. And then all the drama, and then it was just, it keeps going away, and it keeps coming back. And then after a while, nobody trusts it.
Yeah.
That's where they are. I mean, nobody trusts. So they're going to have to earn everybody's trust, right? Everybody, I mean, right now, if we did over-under, does it make it a full season? I may be inclined to say it makes it a full season. It's kind of like the restaurant. Don't tell me about how good they're doing the first six to 12 months. You better be doing good. Or you're definitely not lasting. Tell me what they're doing in year two. That's what I want to know. How's the restaurant doing in year two?
Right.
People coming back.
That's a good analogy.
Same thing with this. It may last. It's got deep pockets. It may last a season. Let's talk about this time next year. Are we still talking about it? I don't know. I mean, we'll check it out. Maybe there'll be some cool moments. Maybe it'll last a season. How's year two looking? That's what I want to know. They're going to have to do that. They're going to have to stick around to gain people's trust. They're going to have to stick around to actually get diehard fans. You have to be here. You can't just say we're open for business and everybody flocks. Especially since we've forgotten more about these leagues than we remember.
Yeah.
Right. There's been some leagues that have come and gone so fast. Right now, if we did trivia, I'm not sure people would even remember them. We would probably all go, oh, yeah. Like, what was the one before AAF?
Well, there was going to be, like, the UFL, the United Football League, that I don't even think played a game.
Did they not play? I thought they did.
Maybe they did. I don't remember.
I thought they did.
Maybe they
played a little bit, yeah. And then it went away. Is that what it was, UFL?
Yeah.
That's the one I think I'm thinking of.
And then you had the first XFL.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about here recently.
Yeah, the UFL is probably the.
Yeah. I mean, it came and it was gone, and nobody remembers it. So if nobody remembers it, did it happen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ricky just sent me this. My bookie has the XFL as minus 2,000 to have a championship game. So they're saying that it's a lock that they'll at least complete a season.
Yeah.
I mean, they did the first time.
I told you, I would put my money on that they'll last a season. Let's talk about year two.
Yeah.
Then what?
Yeah, Vince.
Are we having this discussion about year three of the XFL? That's what I want to know. Because then things are different. Then I think you're going to see people writing articles, people wanting to talk about it.
Yeah.
I think it changes the mindset a little, but for right now, it's going to be hard. So that's some of the hurdles and obstacles they've got. Is this just a lot of people like, yeah.
It's like
I get invested in you and then you go away. So what's the point?
It's like the first season of a TV show. The first season usually sucks because the actors don't have chemistry. You're trying to figure out what the plot of the show is. You have a general idea, but you got to get through that first season. And if you do enough to get people interested and the network's like, okay, we'll give you a second season, then you start getting things going because you get a little bit more money thrown into it. The actors know each other. You start building an audience. I mean, I've gone back and watched TV shows that I was a fan of that I thought was just the best show ever. And I go through and I watch the first season. I'm like, man, why did I stay hooked? But then as it gets going, it obviously gets better. So, I mean, The Simpsons, prime example. The first season of The Simpsons, I don't even watch anymore. The show's been on 32 years. So, you know, you have to get through that initial season like the XFL is about to do. And if people stick around enough and you got to buy in from the coaches and the players, I mean, all these big name coaches, Bob Stoops may do 1 year and go, all right, I'm out. Yeah. You know, you just have to get people to stick with it.
But there'll be other, I mean, there'll be other guys.
Sure.
That'll want to sign up for it. There'll be a lot of other names if it's going to stick around.
Yeah.
And if it's legit.
I'm really curious to talk to somebody like Greg McElroy about this because he's obviously made a great career for himself as a broadcaster, but he had a cup of coffee in the NFL after a pretty darn good college career. What would a league like this have done for him? And I'm interested to hear his answer.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll come back and put a bow on the first hour. That's next. Our buddy Jimmy Shapiro sent out some odds. You want to hear them?
I do. I like odds.
Will Tom Brady be the Patriots quarterback week one of the 2020 NFL regular season? What's the favorite, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, -400.
-400.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty big.
So that it's that much of a favorite.
Mm-hmm. No is +250.
Okay, good value. But I lean towards yes.
Which team will Tom Brady play for if it's not the Patriots in week one? Who's the favorite? 3-1.
Chargers.
They're 4-1.
Raiders.
Raiders, 3-1.
Okay. Good one, Elijah.
I'm on the board.
He gave a fist pump.
1-1.
Who's third?
Titans.
Dolphins.
Bucks, 7-1. Who's fourth?
That one's Titans.
I'll say Colts.
Colts and Cowboys, 9-1.
Cowboys?
I guess if they don't want to pay Dak and Tom's got a lower price tag, maybe.
I don't know about that.
I know. That seems like
that's a stretch.
Real stretch.
That's a big stretch. So we haven't gotten to the Titans yet.
Nope.
Are they even on the list?
There's two 10-1 teams. That's next.
Are the Colts one of those or the Dolphins?
Well, I just told you the Colts are 9-1.
Ah, yeah, that's right.
Colts are 9-1. Okay, so are the Titans one of those?
The Carolina Panthers.
That's a no.
And the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
10-1.
So the Carolina's interesting. But let's think about this. The list that you just read the list to 10-1 real quick.
Raiders 3-1.
Okay.
Las Vegas Raiders 3-1. Los Angeles Chargers 4-1.
Yep.
Tampa Bay Bucks 7-1. Dallas Cowboys, Indianapolis Colts 9-1. Carolina Panthers and Titans 10-1.
Of those teams, because Tom's not going to go to a team, if he leaves New England, he's not going anywhere that he can't win. Of those teams you just named, what team gives him the best shot to go win another one?
Well, we know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I think there's two.
I would say the Titans are on that list. I'd put the Cowboys, but I don't think they're realistic, so I'd take them off. Maybe the Colts?
Yeah, that's who I would have.
Yeah. Titans and Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers are knocking on the door with that roster, and he makes them better. But I wouldn't say it's a sure thing. I'd say his best shot to go win another one next year would be Colts Titans.
Are the Bears on that list by any chance?
Yep, 16-1.
I think that's more realistic than the Cowboys.
Actually,
personally,
some of these teams, this doesn't make any sense. Like, they have the Bears, the Browns, and the Saints, 16-1. Like, that's not happening. It's not happening. Like, that's a waste of money if you bet on that. It's not going to the Browns. It's not going to the Saints.
I think it's a waste of money for the Browns. I think it's a long shot for the Saints. It really depends on what Breeze does and Taysom Hill, if they think he's a franchise quarterback, then yeah, they're not making a change.
I mean, the Browns should be like 2000-1 because it's not happening. Like, you're right. The Saints, I mean, I would give it a shot.
That
I'd
has
give
a
it
better
more,
chance than
has
the
a better
Browns.
Shot than the Browns. Bears, I mean, I don't know why he would go there. I don't see that. Dolphins are 14-1. So the Dolphins are in between the Titans and the Bears. And then they've got the Broncos 18-1. The Redskins 22-1. I don't see that. Vikings 25-1, don't see that. Jets 25-1, don't see that. Cardinals 28-1, no. Bengals 28-1, no. Like those are just not happening. I don't even know why they have odds. Like, Cincinnati's not bringing in Tom Brady. They're drafting Joe Burrow, and that's that. Thanks for playing. Arizona just drafted Kyler Murray, #1 overall. You think they're bringing in Tom Brady? No, that's a no.
No, and Brady has full control over this. He's not going anywhere that, A, he can't walk in and be like, hi, I'm Tom Brady, I'm the man, do what I say, and two, that they don't have a team that he can pretty much walk into and win with. He's got to walk in and have the weapons. The only reason he would leave New England is because he hadn't had the weapons. And that's why coming here makes sense for him, because you got A.J. Brown, you have Corey Davis, you have Jonnu Smith, you have Derrick Henry, obviously. He'd have a run game for the first time ever, pretty much, a consistent run game. So if he's going to leave what he knows, he's going somewhere where he has a roster that he can work with.
Chargers starting quarterback for week one. Who's the favorite?
Wow.
Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert, 9-1. He is fifth on the list. 9-1.
Love?
Not even on the list.
Okay.
No, actually, no, take the back.
Jordan Love?
16-1.
16-1. Man, this is a tough one. Teddy Bridgewater?
5-1. That's second, and he's with somebody else at 5-1. Somebody who's not currently in the
okay,
league.
Okay, I'll
Tua.
Tua.
Yes.
Bridgewater and Tua are 5-1.
Okay.
You're never going to get the favorite.
I don't think Brady's the favorite, but I want to know where he is.
Brady's 6-1.
6-1.
Mm-hmm.
Never going to get the Tannehill?
Nope. Tannehill's 25-1.
Never going to get the favorites.
This person has been in the NFL, but they're not currently.
No, they are. They are.
Huh. Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton is on the list, 18-1.
Okay. For giggles, even though they've already said they're probably moving on, where is Phillip Rivers on this list?
Not on the list.
Not on the list.
On the okay. list. Tyrod Taylor, 3-2, the favorite.
Is he the backup?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Oh.
If they trot out Tyrod Taylor as the starter next year. By the way.
All those people that weren't going to the games before are still not going to go to the games.
By the way, in between Justin Herbert at 9-1 and Jordan Love at 16-1 are two quarterbacks. Current quarterbacks in the NFL at 10-1. We haven't named them.
They're 10-1. Mm-hmm. You said how many quarterbacks?
Two.
To start for the Chargers. Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston is one.
Marcus Mariota.
Marcus Mariota is two. Well played. Phillip Rivers starting week one for whom?
Buccaneers.
I was going to say that too.
2-1.
Nice.
Who's second?
Dolphins.
Dolphins are 11-2.
Jags.
Not on the list.
Okay. He moved to Florida, so I'm just knocking out the Florida teams.
Colts?
3-1. Second. Bucks, Colts. There's a 2 4-1 teams.
2 4-1 teams.
It's all the usual suspects. It's the Panthers and the Raiders.
Panthers and Raiders. Where are the Patriots on that list?
Titans are 20-1.
Mm.
How about that? Patriots are 33-1 with the Cowboys. Titans are 20-1. Cowboys and Patriots are 33-1. It's the Titans and the Saints 20-1.
Hmm. Interesting.
So there you go. That's some fun stuff.
Yeah.
I don't believe a lot of that. Like, I think of that is. Will the Titans franchise tag Ryan Tannehill? Yes, is minus 500.
Yeah, well.
How about that?
That's
plus 300 for no.
Okay. That's interesting. Throw a little scratch on no. Good value.
Will Taysom Hill be on the Saints week one roster?
I'd say yes is the favorite.
Minus 900, oh. Yes.
Yep, there you go.
I'm going to go back to that previous conversation, what they think about Taysom Hill.
I know. They like
him. I think I told you. They love him.
Num.
Minus 900. We'll come back. Greg McElroy to kick off the second hour. That's next.